to create an atmosphere where we might literally charge a situation, put that light to the torch. It need not be lit. The fact of the matter is that even the Polish government recognizes that this is a very, very tenuous situation, that the Pope does, that the church in Poland is also exercising caution and restraint, because we do have a situation that might trigger a Russian response. Were it so easy to mobilize the Allies in their opinion, the fact of the matter is that when we look to do that, Iran, they all but ran out of us. The fact of the matter is that our allies don't trust us today. They don't believe that we have the capabilities of fulfilling our commitment, nor that we have the inner strength to go forward and meet difficult times. And that's why we find ally after ally running away, making commitments today that they're not ready to fulfill. And so I think that we must have that inner strength. Yes, we have to convey to the free world that we would not tolerate or look to favor, that we would cut off all credit, all trade, that we would urge a concerted action, not only on the UN, because I think the UN has become nothing more than a propaganda tool in many cases, a tool used by the Russians, of the non-aligned nations, and I don't think that they have the courage to stand up, because they see that the United States, in terms of its leadership, has been absent, and that indeed, they can't count on us when the chips are down. The fact of the matter is that we have got to hope that both the Polish worker and the government that he is crying out for, the government that oppresses him, comes to an accord so that the Russian boot will not come down once again. And I am very fearful. I am fearful given the situation in Afghanistan where the Russians moved in with fury, venom, with all speed, and crushed and are crushing right now the lives of those who withstand to throw off the yoke of the oppressor that might take place again in Poland. We would sit by in anger. We really would. Yes, we would impose whatever trade sanctions we could. But let no person be fooled by the fact that the Russians will use military might and they deem it needed. And so it's one of those terrible dilemmas that we face, one in which we have to be purposeful and one in which we have to seek the countenance of the Almighty as well. And hopefully, men of reason, right within that Polish, within Poland, will come to an accord to avoid what could be catastrophic. Thank you, Mr. Morrow. In what areas are you in disagreement, if any, with the Republican platform? And you can expand this to Ronald Reagan as well, as things you can say. And would you please address for us the Equal Rights Amendment, the constitutional amendment banning abortions, and a requirement that all potential appointees to the federal bench hold an anti-abortion position. Do you agree with all those?
Let me say that I support the Republican Party platform. I support Ronald Reagan unequivocally. I don't pussyfoot about it. I don't support him just when it's politically expedient, but rather I believe that he needs the kind of support that will be necessary to elect him and make him the president. And he's going to need a United States Senator who will work with him and not against him. I support the three basic elements of the Republican Party platform in terms of military, in terms of having the military capability to ensure peace. We don't want a worldwide conflagration, but one of the essential ways in which to do that is to show those who might be tempted to take a course of action that would involve us in a conflagration to do otherwise as a result of our strength. We need a strategic bomber. We need the B-1 bomber. We need the Trident submarine developed. We need the MX missile system. All three of those systems, by the way, are systems that Senator Javits has voted against. And now we find ourselves in a situation where we're beginning to develop the Trident very slowly. We're beginning to talk about developing the MX missile system, Mr. Carter. And I might add that Mr. Carter was against those systems, and so was Senator Javits. Let's look at the economic situation. I believe and support Governor Reagan. And he says if we have to hold the fires of inflation down, I disagree with Senator Javits when he looks to the business community. The business community doesn't create inflation. It's over-government spending. It's creating a $60 billion deficit this year, a projected deficit of $30 billion that will go far greater. And the fact of the matter is that over-government regulation and the growth of a great
the great bureaucratic empire that has brought us to the state that we're in. And so what we need is a hiring freeze. We've got to have a curtailment of the big social spending program. We've got to seek productivity through job reinvestment, through reindustrialization, giving tax cuts to business to stimulate the economy. And I support the 10th tax bill with a proviso. With a proviso that we're already comfortable with. Decreases in terms of the outlays made by the federal government. Now, we can't seek to balance budgets, increasing military expenditures in 1 year in a tax cut. But we can move towards a program of fiscal discipline. Fiscal discipline, I know, Dad, that Senator Javits has voted against for repeatedly. So I support that economic policy. With respect to ERA, I'm for equal rights for all. I'm opposed to quotas, and I'm opposed to an amendment that would do away with the traditional legislative exemption, that of women being drafted. I'm opposed to women being drafted. Now, no legal authority would say, with any kind of candor, that if we have the ERA amendment, that women would not be subjected to the draft. And that's why I oppose the amendment.
Quickly, Mr. Damato, your view on the suggestion of judges for the interview concerning their stand on abortion before they come to the party.
It does not say abortion. The party plank says that with respect to a respect for family life, the tradition, that is open to interpretation. And I would think that when we have laws, for example, today, and I'll give an address to that, whereby a youngster who has to have her ears pierced needs parental consent. But if she were going to have an abortion, she needs no parental consent. We're talking about ultimately a family life, and we're taking responsibilities away from the family. I think that that is an important consideration, in as much as those are the judges who will be defining the Constitution, who will be making interpreting legislation in light of the Constitution. Thank you,
Senator. I get a little tired of hearing Mr. Damato deal so loosely with the facts that he will check the vote on the only vote we cast on MX missiles. We're getting ready for that. He will find that I voted to support the MX missile, and that I have never voted any other way on the MX missile. And on the B-1 bomber, to get that one out of the way, I happen to have joined in feeling that that was a turkey, been joined in feeling that that was a turkey by the leading hawks in the Senate, senators like Jackson and Nunn and Symington, who was himself a former Secretary of the Air Force, and those votes were cast in 76 and in 77. The reason it was a turkey is because it's going to be succeeded almost immediately by the cruise missile, which would have made the B-1 obsolescent already. And we have just voted in the Senate in the defense procurement bill not to have a B-1 alone as an option or even any such technology, but other technologies which have come along like the FB-111, et cetera. But now we leave those things aside and get back to the platform. I really get a little bit disturbed by the fact that, there's so much misquotation around here. I have a record of having cast 10,000 votes. I'll say right away, I'd like to pull back 2,500 of them. But they don't happen to be the ones that Mr. Damato picked up. Now let's get back to the platform. The platform is ERA. I'm for the ERA. I think women need, in the Constitution, locked in their equality of opportunity. Just like they had after so many years of struggle, their equal right to vote. And I believe that that's elementary. It will mean a lot to them, as about 50% of the women are now working and producing in the American economy. On abortion, I am against the constitutional amendment respecting abortion, because I believe that the Supreme Court has laid down a fair social rule as to what is a woman's right and what is the state's right. And they've done it by time and the development of the fetus, which I think is the right way in which to do it. And so I stay with that, and I have voted against a constitutional amendment respecting abortion, which I think absolutely deprives her of a right she ought to have, and I will continue to do so as far as I know right now. Lastly, the litmus paper test for judges. Iniquitous. Judges hold office for life, and there should be no litmus paper test for the judges. To wit, the judges believe in the theory that the anti-abortionists believe in. That's in effect what that particular claim says. Now, one doesn't have to be for the whole Republican platform, and I doubt that anybody with any real experience could be, including, I might point out, the fact that it comes out against the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. I assume that Mr. D'Amato takes that position. He's against the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, too. I take no such position. I will be for the platform where I believe it's conducive to the interests of my nation and the interests of my state. And I will be not for the platform where I believe other elements enter into the situation. Now, one last thing. I'm for Governor Reagan because I believe there is no other way in this political country in which to shake up the situation and change. We've just had a new economic program by the President, which is another flip-flop after three or four months of saying no tax reduction, whatever, of any kind. The Senate Finance Committee voted a tax reduction. The President read the leaves in the teacup and decided that he's going to have one too, and he's trying to parallel it. But one executive said, what was very true in this matter, the trouble with the plan is not the plan, it's cost.
Senator, thank you. This will be the last question, and we're running a little short of time, so we'll reduce the responses now to 2 minutes. How do you feel about President Carter's economic recovery program in general, and could you please talk about the wisdom of extending unemployment benefits for another 13 weeks?
Yes, Tom. The unemployment benefits need to be extended whether you're in for an adverse economic situation which may last more than the 9 months that present law provides for. That sounds like a long time, but there are stigma unemployment situations which require that kind of treatment. One has to be selective. In addition, today, you've got a rather iniquitous provision on unemployment insurance which requires you to deduct any pension that any recipient of unemployment insurance gets, including Social Security. I fought it very hard, but got licked. And that makes it even tougher on the unemployed. So, as a standby proposition, and if we do firm up the unemployment compensation law, as we must, with respect to the availability of the job, I would feel that I would have to go for that. And as to the economic program itself, it picks up where the Finance Committee left it, to wit, that it is necessary to encourage modernization and investment. It is necessary to give some benefit to savers. You only give them $200. And that therefore, these are the right line, and I have authored them myself for years, and I will proceed.
Thank you. Mr. D'Amato. There are several good elements of the Carter proposal, one being the accelerated depreciation, tax credits for investments in industrial areas, high unemployment, and hopefully that will help the refurbishing of the private sector, and that's what we need here in New York. I think that their 13-week extension of unemployment benefits in hard-pressed areas, Buffalo area, for example, where we have a 56% increase in unemployment, 30-some-odd thousand people out of work, and unemployment benefits are going to run out. That's allowed to take place and compete. Good stuff. I take exception with some of the more liberty-oriented spending programs, again, built into this tax reduction, the weatherization programs, the creation of another bureaucracy, spending $3.2 billion in an education program. Let me tell you, we need tax cuts. That's important to stimulate the private sector. But we've got to have fiscal discipline. And that's where Senator Javits and I disagree, because he voted against those kinds of fiscal disciplines that are so necessary. Because without that, with the continued creation of inflation as a result of huge deficits, you are choking the vitality, the vibrance of working people, their income.
Yeah.
We're all worried about the poor, legitimately so. Mm-hmm. But what about Senator Javits, the fact that working people and taxpayers in this state is going to longer afford to live here, are moving out?
Thank you. That's it for your questions.
And we're now going to give each of the candidates a minute or so to sum up what he thinks about the candidate and about the issues, and I think we should start with Mr. Damato.
I think that when we begin to say that someone's fit or unfit for holding an office, or when we begin to talk about low-level campaigns, that certainly has no place in the campaign. That's something that the voters should make a determination on in terms of the fitness or qualification that a candidate has. Certainly a legitimate question and issue is with respect to the health and effectiveness of a candidate. That's one. But there are many more important ones. We're talking about a Republican primary. We're talking about Republicans having someone who will represent the mainstream of the Republican philosophy. Not someone like Senator Javits, who has voted repeatedly for the big giveaway spending programs. 82% of the time for President Carter. He has voted, for example, to permit the unionization of the military, 1977, one of three senators. He has voted, for example, with the deciding vote in allowing aid to go to Cuba. I think it's that kind of vote that our people have a right to know of. He shepherded through $75 million worth of aid to Nicaragua. We need aid here. We need aid in this state to retool our businesses, not just rhetoric. And those bills in terms of giving us accelerated depreciation could have been acted upon 3 years ago and 2 years ago, and not just this year when it's politically expedient.
Senator Javits, I think we just heard in the last 1 minute an exact demonstration of why Mr. Damato is not qualified to be a senator. For the last 4 years, all the Republicans under a chairmanship which I had of their economic task force have sought accelerated depreciation to give the industry of the United States an opportunity to modernize. We have acted that way and voted that way on the floor, but have been defeated by a majority of the Democrats. What Republicans ought to think about is that this is the time we want to capture the Senate, and they have to nominate the candidate that they think has the best chance. They can see the whole field right now to capture the seat in New York, because that's going to be essential, both to capture the Senate and to capture the presidency. And it seems to me that having served them for as long as I have, and feeling now that I couldn't turn my back on my own people in a time of such peril, when they have given me the training and the backing to get the experience and the friendships and the relationships, not only here, but all over the country and abroad, and to do the job that they need done better than ever, I couldn't turn my back on it. I hope they can't turn their back on me.
Thank you very much, Senator.
That situation is the following. We participate, and we must, if we're going to have any kind of an orderly world, in the International Monetary Fund and in the World Bank. They cannot accept any subscriptions to their capital from any country which puts any condition on the subscription. They have no desire, very clear, in the case of Cuba, it's not even a member, so it couldn't borrow from either one if it wanted to. But they nonetheless cannot accept a subscription in which we condition the subscription upon the fact that they will not make a given loan to a given country, even if there's not even legal to do so, according to their own charter. And so, naturally, I want the loans made, and so I voted with the majority to strip the subscription of that condition, which had been put on in the House of Representatives.
Senator, there seems to be an emotional conflict here within you. You say that this is a campaign that is distinguished by its crudeness and vulgarity. Then you say you're not a bit angry. What do you mean?
Well, I'm not. I've seen crudeness and vulgarity before. That doesn't have to make me angry. It can make me indignant. But I'm not angry.
He accuses you of being a born-again fiscal conservative. How do you plead to that charge?
Well, I don't have to plead to it at all. There is a time for saving and a time for spending, as any human being knows. There is a time when we can do more of the things which we would like to do in education, in the arts, and many other things. And there is a time when, for the moment, we have to reef in. I'm sensible enough, let us say,
and experienced enough to have some sense of that timing. That's all that Mr. D'Amato is really accusing.
Do you think he has legitimately raised the question of your age and fitness to continue in office?
It is one thing to raise the question. It is another thing to make it a campaign.
But Senator,
wait a minute, dear. It is the latter that I strongly object to. That is what I think makes it a low-level campaign, because when you examine the whole picture, that's about all his campaign is. And also, when you couple it with these, you know, record with these remarks, which Mr. D'Amato may have thought were off the record, but were very clearly printed as on the record, that have the implication that wouldn't it be nice if I died pretty soon? That's pretty rough stuff.
But you have responded to some of his low-level charges in those commercials that you've put out. You have addressed yourself to the issue of your health and age.
That is a response to the questions I raised myself, not necessarily raised by Mr. D'Amato's commercials. They've been very well settled by authoritative articles which have now appeared both in leading journals throughout the state, including the leading journals here in the city. It seems to me that that ought to be the end of it, but apparently it's still going.
You acknowledge it is a legitimate issue in both the primary and if you would win the nomination?
I raised it myself, of course. It's a legitimate issue, but it's another thing to make a campaign of it and to keep it up and up and up and up as if that was it. And especially, as I say, when coupled and colored with these implications, which I don't think are very certainly not very pleasant to me, and certainly are not within the parameters of common decency, really.
There's a poll that indicates that Mr. D'Amato, with that kind of campaign, apparently is closing the gap between you two, and that he's chopped 16 points off your lead.
I don't think he's chopped anything off my lead, if I have a lead. And I do, apparently, even by that poll, have a pretty good lead. But I have never predicted my own election to anything, and I won't start now. I'm with Harry Truman. There's only one poll that counts, and that's the poll on primary day, September 9th.
How would you sum up Mr. D'Amato's major weakness?
I think his major weakness is lack of experience, lack of knowledge of the issues at a time when that's certainly a very, very serious deficiency, and the quickness to accept surface indications, and I can give you a number of others, rather than looking into the facts, which you only learn when you're an experienced legislator, and have a basis yourself upon which to acquire knowledge, because you know the essential underlying facts.
Senator, how do you think of the debate now?
Well, I decided no idea. I really don't.
Are you looking forward to more debates?
I did whatever, you know, I felt I needed to do in order to deal with my affirmative case and to deal with his negative. Am I looking forward to more debates? We have two more, so I'm looking forward to it.
This is the first time you've debated.
First time.
Also, for the record, we will, I hope, come up with a strong endorsement for you over him.
Really?
I am going to publicly.
I'm so pleased.
I think publicly we will take issue, and I intend to do it. Somebody might argue there's something wrong with it, but no, I meant in terms of the misuse of our comments. Playing ball that way, you know, like you play ball that way. And I think the nature, come on in, Don. The nature is that she's going to throw away her whole project, but Sandy, short and everything. And what I will do is, we could just talk or chat a little bit. And then when the food comes, and then that way you can take off whatever you like. So.
Mike, would it be appropriate?
Where is Jack Snead, by the way?
He's coming right in. He hasn't got up on the screen.
If it would be agreeable to you, I would like to. I haven't felt it necessary, but I would, now that you've told me what you have, if I could write the paper a letter
sure.
With a few facts and figures.
Sure. Well, I made that deal with you before, and I know...
We did. I'll tell you what happened. I got Zuccotti to do it.
John, yeah.
Yeah, and then because, you know, he used to be my intern. Mm-hmm. That's how he got started. Mm-hmm. And probably that was wrong. I should have done it myself. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be even better.
Sure.
But he did do it, and he submitted something, and it didn't work. I will do it myself. I'll tell you what made me feel that way, because Bill Proxmire, who is, as you know, a pretty independent person, mm-hmm. has just written a book. Mm-hmm. And Bill said in the book, but were it not for myself in 75, for Moynihan and me in 78, New York City would be
found the food.
That's the best evidence.
Hello.
This is Bob Laird. And Jennifer McNeil.
Yeah.
Do I got that pronounced
Jennifer,
right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. Hello, nice to meet you.
Mike, we can go right ahead.
Bob worked in the Jack Keynes in here this moment.
Oh,
Valley.
Yeah.
We had, I just told some people 1:30, but he'll be here in a second. We, Jack's me. No, he's out of town.
Oh, okay.
Our publisher, unfortunately, is out of town. Won't be back for about another week or so. Oh. We didn't want to. Hold up on anything. Late ahead of time. Well, what is the gist of your rebuttal? Just to give us a little. In other words, I think. In other words, to take up this most sensitive subject first, that our problem here, I guess, was that, in a sense that with your preoccupation with international economic policy and all the other problems facing the Joint Committee, and then your more recent involvement on the Foreign Relations Committee, that concentration on the nitty-gritty problems of day-to-day crises and so forth that we have here in the city. Was less than was desirable. So I guess
by the way, is that recording?
Yeah. That's all right. Okay.
What, however, I have suffered from is that as a congressman, I'll give you this straight. Goes back many years, but it's the fact. As a congressman, I found that the only thing that got me any headlines is firing. Mm-hmm. I got my first break.
Hello, Senator.
How are you?
Very nice. Pull up the chair.
Sure.
Have you heard about the food by any chance? Any new bulletins from the food front?
Judy said she was sending. First one I got. Was I made a 1-minute speech on the displaced person, mm-hmm. and it landed on every front page. It's just like maybe it's.
Those are the days of Dick Aurelio, right?
Right. Maybe
you know
it's spoiled.
Your esteemed predecessor, yeah.
Even before that. Mm-hmm. So, and then I went on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and I've since been occupied in an important way in the affairs of the world. Therefore, it's tended to overshadow the bread and butter. So that's the reason. Now the facts. The facts are that those files that were laid on my desk, which I thought I would use instead, are 1 year's take of thank you letters. Thank you, Senator, for this. Thank you, Senator, for that. From major New York entities which have profited from my activities. One year, this is just 1 year, but the other year is the same. One, I have been very active in trying to help workers whose plants were being closed to take them over. And I toted it up last night in preparing for this debate. In the 1 year, it's $35 million in federal government
loans and grants, EDA, EBAG, small business, Farmers Home Administration, and some 6,500 jobs. Secondly, there are thousands of units of housing in the state, from, you know, all across the state, especially housing for the elderly, for which I'm giving credit. Thirdly, the other miscellaneous, the ports, the help with sewage systems and water systems and so on, also number in the hundreds that we attend to. And then there are, of course, the whole gamut of cases. For example, I'll give you a very interesting one. A man named Casimeto the other day got his Medal of Honor, right?
Yep.
Now, did you know, or did your paper know that I'm the author of that bill?
I'll be honest, I didn't.
Of course not.
That credit kind of slipped by and never did.
We were even heard about it.
How can you know that?
How can you catch up with
it? But I ask you, I mean, how can you catch up with it? And that's been my problem.